I'm like Hillel by the skylight. I often just stand by the door and take in a little bit of his beautiful Torah. So yes, Shekayach. So we'll say with that, today's daf is Vav. I know you left off on the last line, but let's just back up a little bit. Just four lines up from the bottom on Hamad Beis, 5b, right after the period. Our shir this morning, I don't have the sheet in front of me, but our shir this morning is dedicated by Paul and Kathy Pollack. I think it's that second one there. Is that? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. By Paul and Kathy Pollack, in honor of the Yartzeitz of Paul's parents, Shmuel ben Zachariah and Sarah Bas Avram, Zichronam Livrach, we open under the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas have an Aliyah and the family in Nechama. We'll say, so with that, let's begin. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Hi Peter Chamar, my Afadeh. So we'll say, what does Rabbi Yossi Aglili do with the repetition of Peter Chamar? So Mibor Lilichi Desanyo, he requires it for the following. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omer Mitoch Shneemar, Ach pado tifta es bukhara adam ve es bukhar habehimat me tifta shamia ani afilu pitre susim ve gimalim. So we'll say the fact that the pasuk goes ahead and makes reference to the idea that you have to go ahead and redeem Peter Bechar Behema. So I would have thought that ultimately, again, that includes all types of animals. So the Gemara says, Afilu Pitre Susim Ugimalim. I would have thought, why is it limited to Peter Chamor? Perhaps it goes ahead and includes the firstborn of all types of non-kosher animals, even Susim and Chamorim. Tamulomar Peter Chamor. Therefore, the pasuk goes out of its way to explicitly mention Peter Chamor. Peter Chamor Amarti Lecha Velo Pitre Susim Ugimalim. To teach that Halacha Lamaisa, the obligation to redeem a firstborn non-kosher animal is dafka only by a chamor and not by other behemoths. Va'adayin ani omer, but still I could say to myself, pitre chamor b'se'a, pitre susim gemala b'chol davar, maybe a bosim in the Torah singles out peter chamor, that's to tell me that peter chamor has to be redeemed with the se'a, with the sheep. But perhaps, again, when it comes to susim and gemalim, horses and camels, there's an obligation of redemption, but what? There's no limitation on redemption. There's an obligation to redeem them, but whereas by the chamor, I'm limited to redeeming it with the seh, by susim and gemalim, I could redeem them with whatever types of animals I want. B'chol davar, tap of vavam and alef, tamud lomar, peter chamor, shnei pa'amim. Therefore, I will say the pasuk goes out of its way to mention Peter Chamor twice to teach me two halachas. So the Gemara says, Shnei Pamim, Pitre Chamor Amarti Lecha, Velo Pitre Susim Ugimam. I will say to Dafka teach me that the halacha of Peter Chamor is Dafka Adin by Chamor and not by Susim and Gimalim. So I will say, this is the Joshua of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, that ultimately the Torah repeats Peter Chamor twice to teach me that halacha lamaisi, the obligation to redeem a chamor, is something limited to a chamor, and this cannot be learned out from chamor to other non-kosher animals. Parach Rav Achai, Rav Achai raised the kasha, ikas of rachmana chad. So as if the Torah would have just had written one Peter Chamor, then what? Hava amina, davar shaya bechlal, the yatsa min haklal, so something that was included in the general statement of kol behema, and then was specifically singled out, meaning by Peter Chamor, lelamed, lo lelamed al atzmo yatsa, it didn't come to go ahead and only teach regarding itself, ela lelamed al haklal kulo yatsa, rather it came to teach about the general klal, i.e. all the behemoths, uli olam beseh, and I would have thought that halacha lemaisa, maybe again it comes to teach me that all non-kosher firstborn animals are also redeemed with a seh. Therefore, kasav rachmana peter chamar achrino. Therefore, the Torah goes out of its way and recites or restates peter chamar a second time to teach me what? Pitre chamorim velo pitre susim ugimalim. So therefore, this is actually very interesting. Had it just said peter chamar once, I would have thought that maybe again, chamor was included in kol behema. The fact that the Torah singles out peter chamor is to teach me that halacha lemaisa, all firstborn animals require redemption with a seh. Therefore, the Torah mentions peter chamor twice to teach me that what? No, this is an exclusion. Peter chamor, or pitre chamorim, velo pitre susim vigamalim. So the additional statement of peter chamor comes to teach me that halacha lemaisa, it is only a Petra Chamor which is redeemed, but not the firstborn of Susim and Gimalim. Ay ve'ema me'atinu miseh, Uli olam bechol davar. Well, maybe not. Maybe when the Torah specifically mentions Petach Hamor even a second time, it's coming to teach me what? It's Davka Petach Hamor, which requires redemption with the Seh. All other firstborn non-kosher animals also require redemption. Just what? Not with a Seh. Imkain, I mean, or redeem them with anything you want. Imkain lichtov rachmona Petach Hamor tifte b'Seh v'chamor tifte b'Seh. So we'll say, if that's the case, then what? Let the Torah just state Petach Hamor tifte b'Seh, and then it's a v'chamor tifte b'Seh. Petach Hamor tifte b'Seh. Petach Hamor tifte b'Seh lamli. So we'll say, what's interesting is as follows. There are two mentionings of the donkey. If that's the case, that the Torah is just coming to teach me that halacha l'maisa, a donkey is unique in that it requires pidyon b'Seh, but not unique in that all other firstborn non-kosher animals require pidyon as well, then why the need to write Peter by both instances of Chamor? If that's the case, just go ahead and write one time Peter Chamor Tifte B'Seh, and then the second time you can leave out the Peter and just say Chamor Tifte B'Seh. Peter Chamor Tifte B'Seh Lamali, to teach me Pitre Chamor Amarti L'cha V'lo Pitre Susim U'Gma. Both say the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to restate Peter by Chamor twice teaches me that what? It is Dafka the Chamor. So both say, teach me what? It's not just that it's Dafka the Chamor that is redeemed with the Seh, and everything else could just be redeemed however you want to redeem it, but rather it's to teach you something much more specific, which is, it is only the Chamor which is redeemed altogether. The other non-kosher animals are not redeemed at all. V'tana didan, and Abba say, our Tano, lemi'uti susim ugimalem minale. So Abba say, so again, according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, so he understands the double lashon of Petach Hamor, to teach me the miut of Dafka Hamor and nothing else. Where does our Tana learn the exclusion for susim ugimalem? Amra Papa, they learn out from the pasuk of Kol Miknicha Tizachar Peter Shar Vaseh. So Amra Papa Komiknucha Tizachar Klal. So we'll say the Komiknucha, your entire flock. So that is a Klal. Shar Vaseh Vichamar Prat. Klal Uprat. So we'll say whenever you have a Klal Uprat, how do you dashen it? Ein Bichlal Elamash Shebeprat. So we'll say the Klal is only, the way you define what is included in the Klal is by looking at the Prat. Shar Vaseh Vichamar In. So I'll say from there I see what's included in the Prat. Shar, Seh, and Chamor. Those are included in the mitzvah of Pidyon. Midi achrina lo. Ultimately, other types of animals are not included. Rabbi Yosef Alidu will say. So I'll say, therefore, again, a very simple Klalu Prat. Right? Very simple Klalu Prat to teach me that it's Dafka, Shar, Seh, and Chamor that are included in the mitzvah of Pidyon and nothing else. So I'll say, why doesn't Rabbi Yossi Achlili just make this drasha as well? It seems to be so much simpler. So Rabbi Yossi Achlili will say, here's the problem. Peter hifseka inyan. So we'll say, current Rabbi Yossi Achlili, here's the problem. The problem is, it says, kol peter rechem li, v'chol miknecha tizachar, peter shar vaseh. So we'll say, ultimately, again, then it says, upeter chamar again. The Torah uses an extra peter. That peter disrupts the flow between what? Between shar, seh, and chamor. So you say the pasuk doesn't say shar, seh, chamor. The pasuk says shar vaseh, and then peter chamor. So Rabbi Yosef Lili will say that extra peter, right? That extra peter goes out and disrupts the flow of the pasuk. The Rabbanan will say vav hadar arvi. We'll say, interestingly enough, the Rabbanan will say that the flow of the pasuk is as such. It says, "Upeter chamar." That vav comes to link chamar to the shar and seh in front of it. So, Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Rabbanan vav hadar arvi. Kra. Rabbi Yosef Aglili, lo lichtov vav for lo peter. Rabbi Yosef Aglili says, "Well, I have a better idea. Just leave out the vav and leave out peter, and the pasuk would flow fine." The Rabban will say, no, you do need the pasuk to break up between shor and seh and chamor. Why? Aidi daha kiddushas damim, vaha kiddushas aguf, pasuk lehu. The Rabban say, because remember, according to the Rabbanan, you can't mention shor and seh and chamor in the same sentence. Why not? Because they have different kiddushos. See, Rabban say, the bechar of a shor and seh has kiddushas haguf, has physical sanctity. The chamor only has monetary sanctity. As such, you do have to split them up. Therefore, the Torah splits them up with the inclusion of the extra pater in between shor and se and chamor. And then what does Tara Kedusha do? Something beautiful. Then it groups them together again, ultimately again, through the vav. V'hadi arev lu. Then it goes back. Then it goes back and ultimately goes ahead and links them together. Ibai luhu. So let's say, the Gemara asks another kasha. So Ibai luhu. Para sheyalda min chamar v'yesh bo miktsas simonim mau. We'll say another shayla. What happens if halacha lemaisa, you have a par that went ahead and gave birth to a min chamar. So we'll say, I have a kosher, right, a par that is giving birth to a chamar, v'yesh bo miktsas simonim. The Rabbah says, and it has some of the simonim of what? So if you look at the Rabbeinu Gershom for just a moment over here on the side, Rabbeinu Gershom says, v'yesh bo miktsas simonim shedome lepara. So we'll say, so now what's interesting in this case is as follows. I have a par that gave birth to a chamar, and ultimately again, but the offspring has some of the simanim ultimately of a par. Okay, see what's happening? We'll say, mother is a par, gives birth to an offspring that looks like a chamar, non-kosher animal, but the animal still resembles a par. So what's that locha? Mahu. Mahu. Similar, so obviously, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about that this offspring is a firstborn, it's a bechor. So we're asking over here is what's its status? Mahu. Or is sheyolda min Rachel? So we'll say, or now these cases are easy. If you have an Aes that gave birth to something that looks like a Rachel, or Rachel sheyolda min Aes, so we'll say, so in these cases over here, tichi yesh miktsas simanim chayaves bebechora. Then we'll say, in this case, when the offspring resembles the mother, in the Aes and Rachel case, that's easy. The ha-tahora v'ha-tahora, ha-kidush ha-sagov v'ha-kidush ha-sagov. So we'll say, when you have an Aes and a Rachel, which are all in the same mishpacha, right, the goat sheep family, that's all easy. Why? First of all, they're all kosher animals, right? That's number one. Number two, they all have kiddushas haguf, right? They all have physical sanctity for the bechora. So I'll say, so that case is easy. The question over here, I'll say, is a bit more complicated, because here I have a cow giving birth to something that looks like what? So it looks like a chamar, right? But it still resembles the cow. So mahu, what's the halacha? Hacha, da'atmei of ha'tohora. Here, Rabbi say the mother is a cow; it's Torah. The offspring looks like a donkey, which is a behemoth mea. Ha'kidushas ha'gov, ha'kidushas damim. Furthermore, there's another issue: a cow has physical sanctity; a chamar only has what? Financial sanctity. So the Gemara says, solo. So we'll say, do we say that since again they're too dissimilar, then therefore again this chamar offspring does not have kidushas damim? Oh, Dilma. Kevan di edvid bnei mikdash bebechora kadosh, or maybe we'll say what? Since they both have the capacity for sanctity, so indeed this offspring will be kadosh. Vimtim tzalomar, and if you want to say kevan di edvid bnei mikdash bebechora kadosh, and maybe you'll say no. Even in this case, I will say since they're both shayach to bechora. In other words, even though halacha lemaisa, this cow is giving birth to something that looks like a chamar. And even though, again, the cow, a cow, has physical sanctity versus a chamar, which only has financial sanctity. But since they're both shaykh to kedushas bechor, maybe it should be good enough. What about the reverse case, or a different case? Chamar sheyalda min sus mahu. We'll say, what happens if a chamar gives birth to something that resembles a sus? Now, what's that look in this case? Hacha. Vadai lav bas mikdash bechoru. So we'll say a sus has no shaychus to a bechora. Right, no shaychus to chos bechor. So therefore, maybe even when the donkey gives birth to a sus, ultimately again this animal has no sanctity. O dilma kevan dimin temeyahu kadosh. Or do we see Rabbi say that since ultimately this is a non-kosher species, born to a chamar, and the chamar itself is shayach to bechora, therefore the offspring of the bechora of the chamar is also shayach to bechora. And in tim salomar, kevan de min temehu kadosh. And if you want to say ultimately again, since it's a min temeha, since ultimately again it's the offspring of a chamar, it is shayach to kedusha. What about the following case? Para sheyalda min sus mahu. What happens, Rabbi say, if ultimately the para gives birth to something which resembles a sus? Mau, hacha, vandai hatora
the Hatameya. So what we see over here, that certainly in this case, this is a Tahora and this is a Tameya. Habas Mikdash Bebechora. Although a par has sheichus ultimately to Bechora, ultimately again a sus does not. Odilma simanin milsahi. Or do I say, well, say, as long as in some way the offspring resembles the mother, we are good to go. So we'll say, so that you hear this tension. So the tension over here is, and this is really what it all comes down to. Do we say as long as the offspring in some way resembles the mother, therefore again the offspring will share the status of the mother? Or do we say no, that if the offspring at the end of the day is of a different min, then Kedushas Bechor does not devolve upon it? And I will say, we're going to see this whole discussion is a bit academic in just a few lines. Tashma, Behema Tahora, Sheyalda min Behema Tameya. So what do we learn? We learn that if a Behema Tahora gives birth to a Behema Tameya, or something that resembles, so we'll say, obviously in this case over here, what's happening over here is the kosher animal is giving birth to something that resembles a non-kosher animal. So what's the halacha? Petura min habachora. Ultimately, again, the offspring is pater from bechor. Im yesh bo miktas simanim chayeves bebechora. But what? If the offspring resembles the kosher mother in some way, then what's the halacha? It is chayev in bechora. My love, is this not referring to even a case? Afilu parashi yaldam in sus? But say, is this not saying over here that even if the cow give birth to something that looks like a sus, as long as the sus resembles the mother in some way, it should be chayeves bebechora? Tirish Liwana says, no. That's the case of para sheyalda min achamar. But say, that's the case of a cow that gives birth to a chamar. And the Bryce is telling me that what? See, they both say, in the case of a par that resembles the in the case of the par that gives birth, something that resembles the chamar, so what are we saying? As long as the chamar resembles the mother in some way, it has kedushas bechor. Why? You have two things going for it. What are the two things going for it? Number one, three things going for it. Number one, its mother is a para. Number two, it resembles. And number three, it's a chamar. So it's of the same min, ultimately, again, that is shayach to Kedushas Bechor. But it's quite possible that if a pari gives birth to something that resembles a sus, because even though, number one, its mother is a para, even though, number two, it might resemble a para, because it is a min that has no shaychus, ultimately, to Kedushas Bechor, it doesn't have Kedushas Bechor. So let's analyze this. Tashma, para sheyalda min achamar. So we'll say this is a reverse case. You have a para. You have a para. That is yolda min achamar. So we'll say, so I have a chamar that gives birth to something that resembles a para. Vichamar, she yolda min asus. Or for that matter, a sus, a horse, that gives birth to something that resembles a para. So ptura min abachor. So we'll say, in these cases, the animal ultimately, again, is pater from bachor. Im yesh miktas simanim, chayavim bebachorah. There was an interestingly enough, if halacha lemaaseh has miktas simanim, it is chayeves bebechora. Then I will say, my love atarvayo, does that last statement not go back on both cases? And I will say, if that's the case, that's an incredible novelty. Because what is it saying over here? This is a case, ultimately, again, of, you have two cases over here. Para, that a chamar that gave birth, right, from a chamar that gave birth, something that resembled the para, and a sus, right, that gave birth, right, I'm sorry, I reversed that. Par shealda min chamar, and chamar shealda min... So right, there's a par that gave birth to something that resembles a chamar, and a chamar that gave birth to something that resembles a sus. So it's betura min habechora. However, again, if halacha lemaaseh, the offspring resembles the mother, it is chayeves bebechora. My love atarvayu, is this not going on both cases? To which the Gemara says, lo, a para shealda min chamar. No, what it's talking about over here is the case of a para that gave birth to something that resembles a chamor. Aval chamor sheyolda min sus lemai katanila liptora. So we'll say, but ultimately, again, in the case of the chamor that gave birth to something that resembles a sus, that is pater from bechora. So the Gemara says, okay, lemai katanila pshita. We'll say, is that not obvious? Hashta Uma para shialda min chamar. Both in the case of a para that gives birth to a chamar, di idivi idibine mikdash bibichore ninhu. So both say, here's the idea. In the case of a para that gives birth to something that resembles a chamar, that's an easier sell. Why? First of all, because as we just said, the mother is a par, right? Number two, the chamar resembles the mother. And number three, a chamar itself is something that is shayach to bechora. So the Gemara says, Amrit imyeshba mikzas simanim in vilolo chamar sheyalda min sus mi boy. So we'll say, if ultimately, again, the chamar gives birth to the type of a sus, is right, obviously that offspring is not going to be shayach in bechor. First wide line, itzrich. I'll tell you why. Saradait chamina. Hasim hudiyesh la karnayim, vaha ein la karnayim, ha parsoseh stukos, vaha parsoseh klutos. So I might have thought as follows. Everything depends ultimately, again, in the case where the chamar gives birth to a sus or to a min sus. Everything depends on how much the offspring resembles the mother, right? If the offspring ultimately, again, resembles the mother, literally, again, this is where it has horns and its hooves, are not cloven, are not split. Sigmar says, Aval hocha di'idivi'idi in la karnayim. And we'll say in this case over here, where halacha l'maisa, the offspring, both the mother and the offspring, do not have horns. Idivi'idi parsa seh klutos. Both of these cases, the hooves are not cloven. So I would say, Ema chamar adam ba'amahu. Say that this is not really a horse, but rather I will say, what is this? A reddish donkey. In other words, I will say that it's a horse with a darker color. So I would have thought, therefore, what? It should be shayach, ultimately, to bechora. Kamash bolan, that it is not. So I will say, what seems to come out over here is as follows. So halacha lemaisa, if you have a par that gives birth, ultimately, to a chamar, as long as that chamar in some way resembles the par, it will be subject ultimately again to bechora. Why? Because it shares three characteristics. Number one, it's the son of a par. Number two, it resembles the par. And number three, it's of a species that is anyway subject to bechora. But if you have a chamar that gives birth to something that is like a sus, it appears that even in that case, halacha lemaisa, even if the offspring does in fact resemble the mother, halacha lemaisa, again, it will not be subject to bechora. Good. Umahim ba'achila. So say, if remember again, the end of the Mishnah said as follows. The end of the Mishnah said that when it comes to consumption, so the Mishnah said, if you have a behemoth, so we'll say, the laws of consumption are a bit simpler. The laws of consumption as expressed by the Mishnah is, if you are the offspring of a kosher animal, then what? You are kosher. If you are the offspring of a non-kosher animal, you are not kosher. And to the point, I will say that it appears that even if the offspring does not have the simanim of a kosher animal, ultimately, again, the animal itself will still be kosher. That's what the Mishnah, I'll read to the Mishnah. Omei nam b'achila, b'hematar shialda k'min b'hemat tmeya mutar b'achila, u'tmeya shialda k'min b'hemat tora aser b'achila. Shayotze min atamei tamei, vayotze min atar tar. So the Mishnah says two things. The Mishnah says, if a kosher animal births what appears to be a non-kosher animal, the animal is still kosher. If a non-kosher animal births something that appears to be a kosher animal, ultimately the animal is treif. And then the Mishnah says that klal shayotzi min atamei tamei, that which comes out of a tamei animal is tamei, that which comes out of a kosher animal is kosher. Says the Gemara, lamali lemisni shayotzi. So we'll say, here's the interesting part. Why is that last line of the Mishnah necessary? Right? Why is that last line necessary? What do I mean by that? So the Mishnah already said that if you have a kosher animal which gives birth to something that looks like a non-kosher animal, what's the status of the offspring? What's the status? Kosher. If you have a non-kosher animal that gives birth to something which resembles a kosher animal, what's the status of the offspring? Not kosher. Yet the Mishnah still goes on to say, Shayotze min atame tame, vayotze min atar tar. Why do I need that last principle? I already know that halacha from the Mishnah. Lamli l'misnei shayotze. Here we go. Simna ba'almuhu. We'll say ultimately again, it's just a simen. Dilo techlof loch. So I'll say ultimately that you should not get confused. Delotema zil basre dide. Because I'll say I might have easily thought that what's the halacha? The halacha is that perhaps I should go ahead and follow the status of the actual animal itself. V'haytar ma'al yuhu, v'haytameh ma'al yuhu. I would have thought said that essentially when determining the kosher status of the animal, I said, what do I look at? I look at the animal itself. If the animal looks kosher, it is kosher. If it doesn't look kosher, it's not kosher. To which the Gemara says, Ella, so therefore what does the halacha tell me? Ella zil basar ime. Therefore the Mishnah teaches me that, no, interestingly enough, the kosher status of an animal is determined by what? The mother. The mother, we look if the mother is a kosher animal, even if the offspring does not look kosher, it would still be kosher. If the mother is not kosher, even if the offspring looks kosher, it is not kosher. So Menahani Milir, Bosa is actually very interesting. How do we know this? How do we know that the kashrus of the animal is determined by the mother? So the Gemara says, here we go, Tatan Rabbanon, Ach Azeh. So the pasuk says, "Achazil otochlu." This is what you shall not eat. Mi ma'aleh hagerim afresi aparsa. Right? Even though what? These are animals you shall not eat. Even though, again, they have attributes of chewing their cud and having split hooves. Rabbi says, so what does that mean? So what it's telling us is, mimale hagera umimah afrisia parasa, that there are animals from the chewing cud and split hoof family that you are not permitted to eat. Which animals are those? Yesh lecha shumah legir mafris parsa v'yata ochel. This is amazing. There are animals which have split hooves and chew their cud, yet you still can't eat it. What would be such an example? Ve'eza zeh tar shenolad min ha'tameh. Rabbi say this would be a case of an animal which has split hooves and chews its cud, but amazingly enough, it was born to a non-kosher mother. So we'll say, so again, you have some type of mutation where what happens? Let's say again, the non-kosher animal gives birth to offspring which chews its cud and has split hooves. Nevertheless, what does the pasuk tell me? There will be some animals from amongst those that chew their cud and have split hooves that you may not eat. What is that? An animal born to a non-kosher mother. Even if that animal itself has split hooves and chews its cud, you still can't eat it. So the Gemara says, "Oh, ala tamen ala minatar." Or maybe not. Maybe that's coming to teach me that what? That halacha lemaisa. Baruch Fischel, this is recording, right? Okay, I don't know why. Some stopped on my phone. Okay, good. So, eino ella tamei hanolad min atar, or maybe it's what? Maybe it's coming to teach me a case of tamei that was born to a tahar. Umay ma'aliya geira umafrisi aparsa. Well, so maybe it's coming to teach you something else. Maybe it's coming to teach you that even if the mother is ma'aliya geira umafris parsa, that what? That halacha lemaisa, it's not good. To which the Gemara says, umami ma'ale agera mafresi aparsa. And ultimately, again, what do I learn from ma'ale agera mafresi aparsa? Amud beis, hachi kamar. This is what it means to say, davar haba mi ma'ale agera o mi mafresi aparsa lo teicho. Bosse is come to teach you something different. That halacha lemaisa, even if the mother is ma'ale geira mafris parsa, but the offspring is not, you still can't go ahead and eat it. Talmud lomar, gamal tamehu. Therefore, Bosse, the pasuk says, interestingly enough, the pasuk says, the gamal, which ki ma'ale geira mafris parsa inenu mafris, tamehu lachem. So the Gemara says, "Hu tamei." It is the camel which is tamei. Ve'in tamei hanolad min hatahar tamei. But an animal which is tamei, which is born ultimately again to the tar, But the tamei which is nolad min hatar is. Ve'in tamei hanolad min hatar tamei. So we'll say, but ultimately that which is unkosher, born to something which is kosher, is not tamei to you. Ultimately, again, ela tahar. So we'll say, so therefore again, the first drasha over here that we have is as follows. The first drasha is, ach ezeh lo tochlu mima'aleh ager mefresi aparsa. This you cannot eat, it's an interesting drasha, from the animals which are ma'aleh gera mafris parsa. And from that we learn that what? That you have certain animals that even if they are ma'aleh gera and mafris parsa, they chew their cud and they have split hooves, you are still not permitted to eat them. People say, what would be a case like that? that ultimately, again, would be a case of a tahar shenolad min hatame. That even if the mother, right, even if the offspring has split hooves and chews its cud, if it is born to a non-kosher mother, you are not permitted to eat it. That's drasha number one. Rabbi Shimon learns it out a little bit differently. He says, gamal gamal shnei pa'amim. Rabbi Shimon says, it says gamal twice. What does gamal twice teach me? Echad gamal hanolad min hagamla. What does it teach me? Ultimately, again, a camel that is born from a mother camel. Ve'echad gamal hanolad min hapara. And what does it teach me about a camel that is born ultimately, again, from a par? And I will say, what do I learn from this? Ultimately, again, one of them is going to be asur, one of them is going to be mutter. A camel born to a mother camel is going to be asur. A camel born to a par is going to be mutter. Interestingly enough, Rabbanon. So we'll say, so again, which is the same principle. I was supposed to say that when determining the kosher status of the animal, we look at the mother and ultimately, again, not the offspring. So even if the offspring is some type of anomaly and it doesn't have the kosher symbols, if you are born to a kosher mother, ultimately, again, you are kosher. Rabbanon, hi, gamal, gamal, my avdile. We'll say, sorry, I said that wrong. Excuse me. Rabbi Shimon is disagreeing. And Rabbi Shimon Rabosai is holding that Halacha Lamaisa, Gamal Gamal teaches me two different drashas. That Halacha Lamaisa, whether you are a Gamal born to a Gemala, or whether you are a Gamal born to a Par, you are going to be Aser. Rabbi Shimon holds that Halacha Lamaisa, if the animal does not have its own Simani Kashrus, then ultimately, again, that animal will be asur. So we'll say, what we have over here, what the Gemara is introducing to us, is a fundamental machlokes. The Rabbanan are holding, based on the drasha that we just said before, of the pasuk, achezelo tochlu mima'aleger mafisei parsa, teaches me that what? That even if you have an animal that halacha lemaisa does not have these simanim, as long as it is born to a kosher mother, ultimately it is kosher. Rabbi Shimon comes along and says that is incorrect. Halacha lemaisa, if an animal, even if it's born to a kosher mother, but if it does not have this simanim of a kosher animal, that animal is not kosher unto itself. And where does Rabbi Shimon learn this from? Torah says gamal twice. Why did he need gamal twice? One is to teach me a gamal that is born to a gemala, and one is to teach me a gamal which is born to a para. People say, what does it mean, a gamal that's born to a para? Very simply, the para gives birth, the animal has some type of anomaly, and the animal is born looking like a gemala, i.e. without proper kosher simonim. Rabbi Shimon will say, such an animal is treif. Aiv Rabbanon, hai gamal gamal my avdile. People say, what did the Rabbanon do with the double lashon of gamal? Chad le'eser atzmo, v'chad le'eser chelbo. One is ultimately there to aser, right, the gamal itself, and one is there to aser the milk of a gamal. But we're about to get into a very interesting sugya. So one gamal teaches me I can't eat the gamal itself. The other one teaches me that I can't what? I can't drink the milk of a gamal. V'Rabbi Shimon, le'eser chelbo minale. But say, where does Rabbi Shimon know that Halacha lemaisa, you can't drink the milk of a camel? Nafka le me es hagamal. He learns that from S, right? S is a ribui. The word S comes to include something else. So es hagamal comes to teach you that what? That halacha lemaisa, I can't drink the milk of the gamal. V'rabbanan, Rabbosa, get ready for this. Esim lo darshi. The Rabbanan did not darshin S. Rabbosa, why not? The beautiful Gemara ki desanya. Shimon Ha'amsoni Hayadorish es kol es ve'es Shabbatora. Rabbi says Shimon Ha'amsoni used to darshan all of the esin, right? He would darshan every single es in the Torah. Rabbi says this is the famous Gemara of Shimon Ha'amsoni. See, he would darshan. Shimon Ha'amsoni would darshan every single S. Every time he said S, he understood that it would come to include some type of ribui, some type of inclusion, something else. Kevan Shegi Ela Es Hashem Lo Kechatira. But once he came to the pasuk of, and you should fear Hashem your God, Piresh, he stopped darshaning Esin. Why, Rabosai? Because what are you supposed to do with Es Hashem Lo Kechatira? What could that possibly come to include additionally? Therefore, what did he say? What did Shimon Ha'amsoni say to himself? I must be wrong. my drushas are wrong. I should have never darshan all of the essen. Amlo tamidav, Rebbe, kol essen shedarashta mate alem. So the tamid said, Rebbe, what about all of the essen you darshaned? Right? What about all the drushas you made? What about all of those? Amar lahem, kishem shikibalti schar al hadrisha, kach ani mekabel schar al haprisha. So he said to them, my tamidim, the same way I received schar for darshaning all of the essen, I will go ahead and receive schar for stopping to darshan all of the essen. In other words, we'll say what he said is, I tried. And the good news is, Rabbi Sain, the good news is that in Yiddishkeit, you don't get reward for results, you get reward for effort. So Shimon Amsun, he said, I tried, I thought these were good drushes. Obviously now I hit a brick wall. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. There can't be anything to include on top of that. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, I was wrong. And therefore, again, Baruch Hashem, we got the schar for trying, and now we'll get the schar for desisting. Until Rabbi Akiva came along and he said, no, Shimon Amsuni, you're not wrong, you are right. What do you do with Es Hashem Elokecha Tira? Velimeid Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, the rabbos, Tamidei Chachamim. Rabbi said, what does that come to include? It comes to include Torah scholars. The S of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira means that the same way you should revere HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should revere Talmidei Chachamim as well. Rabbi Akiva saves the day, saves Shimon HaAmsuni. Incredible. Amalei Rav Acha Bar Drava L'Rav Ashi, Ela Me'ata, here we go, Taima D'Rabbana Migamal Gamal. Rabbi Shimon Me'es HaGamal. So let's say, so remember, according to the Rabbanon, they're learning out that the prohibition of milk, right? One comes to teach me that I can't drink from the Gamal. Well, excuse me. One Gamal comes to teach me I can't eat the Gamal. Second Gamal comes to teach me that what? I can't drink the milk of the Gamal. Rabbi Shimon learns that from Es HaGamal, right? The extra word Es comes to include that which is part of the Gamal, i.e. the milk. Ha love Haki, you're both listening to this without these drushes. I would have thought that what? Hava mina chilev de behema tamei ashari. I might have thought that the milk of a non-kosher animal should be permitted. So the Gemara says, 1 second, but why would I think that? Why would that be different from that which we learned? Hatmeim. Well, so when the Pasuk uses Lashon of Hatmeim, that is an inclusionary phrase. What does that come to include? Le'esar tziran v'rotvan v'kipashan. Well, so that comes to include what? The tzir, the brine, the rota of the gravy, the kippah, the sediment. Which Rabbi said, the extra mayim comes to include everything that is part of the non-kosher animal. Why would that not come to include milk as well? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. It's trich, sagadai tchamina, hoil de behema tohora nami chidishu. Rabbi said, listen to this. I would have thought that since by, it will say, this is actually very interesting, where even the whole notion of drinking milk from a kosher animal is an incredible chiddush, as we're going to we'll say, right? Even the notion of drinking milk from a behema Torah is a chiddush. Damar mar, dam nechar v'nase chalav. This will say, remember again, this we're going to discuss this in greater depth, but where does milk come from? So Chazal felt that milk is blood. Right, that ultimately, again, it begins as blood in the body, and ultimately then the body processes it into milk. So remember again, I'm not permitted to drink the dam, the blood of even a kosher animal, but yet there's a chiddush that tells you that what? I could drink the milk of a kosher animal. Since it's a chiddush to begin with, maybe that chiddush should apply to non-kosher animals as well. Rabbi say, an incredible havamina. Kamash mala, no. Kamash not like that. And therefore, the chiddush, Rabbi say, only applies to drinking the milk of kosher animals, does not apply to drinking the milk of non-kosher animals. To which the Gemara says, well, let's go back and talk about that for just a moment. Rabbi say, that's fine according to the opinion that says that the way milk is made is that it starts as blood, and literally necha means literally the blood transforms, the blood congeals into milk. This, by the way, is a discussion by Nida. So we'll say, so the Gemara is discussing over here that a nursing woman does not menstruate, right? A nursing woman does not become a Nida. So why is that? So we'll say, so there's one opinion that says that's because what would have been menstrual blood transforms into milk. But there's another opinion that says, no, that's not how it works. The reason she doesn't menstruate, Rabbi Osai, is why? Because birth is traumatic for the body. And that physical trauma disrupts the internal systems, and as a result, she does not become an Ida for up to 2 years. Which means the body becomes disjointed. There's a trauma to birth. And sometimes it could take up to 24 months, ultimately, for a body to return to normal. Then I will say, ultimately, again, so then what's the heter for milk? So we'll say, listen to this. So here's the issue with milk. I would have thought like this. In general, I will say, anything that comes from a living animal is called what? It's called Ivr Min HaChai. So we'll say, so why should I be permitted to drink milk? Milk is Ivr Min HaChai. Right? Listen to this. There is nothing that comes from a living animal which is permitted. So I'll say, therefore, this milk, this is a million-dollar question. Why is milk permitted? Right? So ultimately, milk which comes from a living animal should be Ivr Min HaChai, Vishari. And yet, nevertheless, it is permitted. We don't know why yet, but it's permitted. So we'll say, so in other words, what the Gemara is suggesting, we'll say something amazing. Once milk is permitted, and the fact that milk is permitted is such an incredibly ridiculous chiddush, then why should it just be permitted ultimately again? Why should it just be permitted ultimately by a kosher animal? It should also be permitted by a non-kosher animal. Kamash Malan, therefore, what? Kamash Malan, that ultimately, again, halacha lemaisa, it is only permitted by a kosher animal, not permitted by a non-kosher animal. Kamash Malan, not. So we'll say, so therefore, again, that's the halacha. But ask the Gemara, but how do I know that? The chalav de behemot tahora minalam deshari. Rabbi say, from where do I know ultimately, again, that the chalav of a kosher animal is permitted? Ilema mida asarachmana basar bechalav. Ultimately, you know, we'll say, if it's, so we'll say, now what we're asking over here is, here's what I know. I know that it is an incredible chiddush that milk is mutter. Why do I know that it's an incredible chiddush? Because essentially it should be Ivr Min HaChai. And I know now that that chiddush only applies to milk that comes from kosher animals, not milk that comes from non-kosher animals. Okay, now the Gemara says, but tell me, how exactly do I know that milk is permitted? So the Gemara says, here we go. So I'll say, I would say maybe it's because the Torah prohibits basar b'chalav. Haluchudei shari. So I'll say the fact that the Torah prohibits basar b'chalav tells me that what? That milk by itself is permitted. Maybe not. Maybe what it means is like this. Basar b'chalav, Rabbi says, asar b'achila and b'hana. Maybe milk by itself is still asar b'achila, but mutar b'hana. Basar b'chalav b'hana nami asar. So we'll say maybe that's the chilek. Basar b'chalav together is going to be asar b'achila, asar b'hana. Milk by itself will still be asar b'achila, but mutar b'hana. Ulu Rabbi Shimon, we'll say first wide line, vav amud beis. Ulu Rabbi Shimon, d'shari b'hana mashkachas le'milki al bishulei. It was Chinta Rabbi Shimon who says that Basar B'chalav ultimately again is Mutar Ba'na as well. He will say ultimately again that you'll still be Asr for, it'll still be get Malkus ultimately again for the Bishul of Basar B'chalav. Ella, Midigali Rachmana B'psuli HaMokdash. Here we go, second wide line. Right, the fact that the Torah says by P'suli HaMokdashin, Tizbach V'lo Giza, ultimately again, that it shall be offered up, but you shall not shear it. Basar v'lo chalav. Ultimately, again, you are permitted to go ahead and eat its meat, but you can't go ahead and milk it. Hadichulin shari. So what says the fact that the Torah has to tell me that the milk of psuli hamukdashin, an animal which is rendered unfit for the mizbeach, ultimately, again, you can eat its meat, but you can't drink its milk. Tells me that what? That milk by chulin animals will be permitted. I ve'ima dechulin aser ba'achila v'shari ba'ana dekatshim ba'ana inami aser. Maybe not. Maybe say Abba say that milk of chulin will be aser ba'achila mutar ba'ana. By katshim, it's not only aser ba'achila, but it's also mutar ba'ana. Ela mi dechsev Rather, I will say the pasuk. Gemara calls it the pasuk from Mishlei. V'day chalev izim lalachmecha lalechem beisecha v'chaim lenaarosecha. And ultimately, again, you will have the milk of goats to go ahead and sustain your home. So the fact that it's saying you could sustain your home with the milk of goats tells me that what? That milk is mutter. I v'dilma l'schora. Maybe not. Maybe it's saying that the milk is only permitted ultimately for commerce purposes, but you can't eat it. Ela midichsev, rather from the fact that the pasuk says, Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara quotes from Shmuel, Ves aseres charitzei acholov, ha'ela tavi l'sara elef, ves achacha tifkol l'shonu ves aruba samtikach. So we'll say this is by Shmuel Aleph. When Yishai tells David to bring his brother provisions, right, in the battlefield. So what does he tell them? Go ahead and bring them literally 10 cakes of milk. So the Gemara says, V'dilma l'schora, but maybe again that's for commerce. Maybe it's not for consumption. Atu daka shalmacham l'schora. Who exactly are you doing business with on the battlefield? Right? You're gonna do business with the Plishtim? You're gonna sell them the milk? So I say, obviously that must have been for consumption. V'ibai saying, V'hachar Abba saying, here it comes. Eretz Zavas Chalav Udivash. We will say the fact that the pasuk calls Eretz Yisrael a land of milk and honey. Ve'ilo deshari mishtabach kra b'midi delo chazi. We will say, tell me, would the Torah praise Eretz Yisrael with a food item that was not fit for consumption? So the fact that the Torah calls Eretz Yisrael an Eretz Zavas Chalav Udivash teaches me that what? Milk is permitted. Isn't this incredible? The whole notion, we know that milk is permitted because Torah calls Eretz Yisrael an Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. V'ibai Seima, one other possibility, Mehacha, Luchu Shivru V'achlu U'luchu Shivru B'lo Kesef U'b'lo Mechir Yayin V'chalav. U'b'lo Mechir Yayin V'chalav. So we'll say over here, one other possibility, Torah quotes the Pasuk from Yishayo, that this is the high called some lechu lemayim v'asher lo kasef v'asher in lo kasef lechu shivru v'echlu lechu shivru b'lo kasef u'b'lo mechir yayin v'chalav. Go and buy without money wine and milk. Ultimately showing me that halacha lemaisa. Halach l'mayich z'milk is present. So also we'll stop over here for today. But again, we end off with a very dramatic idea, a very important limud, that halach l'maysa, milk, will ultimately, again, be permitted for consumption, even though it's an incredible chiddush, because it comes from a living animal. Normally, anything that comes from a living animal is going to be usher. From where do we know that milk is going to be mutter? Although we have this pasuk from Yeshaya, again, Abosai, it comes from Eretz Zavas Chalav Udevash. Ultimately, if Eretz Yisrael is praised with it, then it must be fit. So you need the first Russia to distinguish ultimately between kosher and non-kosher animals.